E.G. White to Burden and Others, March 24, 1908. B90, 1908. March 30, 1908. Sanitarium, California, March 24, 1908. Elder Burden and Others Bearing Responsibilities at Loma Linda. Dear brethren, I feel a deep interest that careful study shall be given to the needs of our institution at Loma Linda, and that the right moves may be made. In the carrying forward of the work at this place, men of talent and of decided spirituality are needed. We may, in the work of educating our nurses, reach a high standard in the knowledge of the true sciences of healing. That which is of most importance is that the students be taught how to truly represent the principles of health reform. Teach the students to pursue this line of study faithfully, combined with other essential lines of education. The grace of Jesus Christ will give wisdom to all who will follow the Lord's plan of true education. Let the students follow closely the example of the one who purchased the human race with the costly price of his own life. Let them appeal to the Savior and depend upon him as the one who heals all manner of diseases. The Lord would have the workers make special efforts to point the sick and suffering to the great physician who made the human body. He would have all become obedient children to the faith, that they may come with confidence and ask for bodily restoration. Many who come to our sanitariums will be blessed as they learn the truth concerning the Word of God, many who would never learn it through any other medium. It is well that our training schools for Christian workers should be established near health institutions, that the students may be educated in the principles of healthful living. Institutions that send forth workers who are able to give a reason for their faith, and who have faith that works by love and purifies the soul, are of great value. I have clear instruction that wherever it is possible, schools should be established near to our sanitariums, that each institution may be a help to the other. But I dare not advise that steps be taken at this time to branch out so largely in the educational work at Loma Linda that a large outlay of means will be required to erect new buildings. Our faithful workers at Loma Linda must not be overwhelmed with such great responsibilities that they will be in danger of becoming worn and discouraged. I am charged to caution you against building extensively for the accommodations of students. It would not be wise to invest at this time so large a capital as would be required to equip a medical college that would properly qualify physicians to stand the test of the medical examinations of the different states. A movement should not now be inaugurated that would add greatly to the investment upon the Loma Linda property. Already there is a large debt resting upon the institution, and discouragement and perplexity would follow if this indebtedness were to be greatly increased. As the work progresses, new improvements may be added from time to time as they are found necessary. An elevator should soon be installed in the main building. But there is need of strict economy. Let our brethren move cautiously and wisely, and plan no larger than they can handle without being overburdened. In the work of the school, maintain simplicity. No argument is so powerful as is success founded upon simplicity. And you may attain success in the education of students as medical missionaries without a medical school that can qualify physicians to compete with the physicians of the world. Let the students be given a practical education. And the less dependent you are upon worldly methods of education, the better it will be for the students. Special instruction should be given in the art of treating the sick without the use of poisonous drugs, and in harmony with the light that God has given. Students should come forth from the school without having sacrificed the principles of health reform. The education that meets the world's standard is to be less and less valued by those who are seeking for efficiency in carrying the medical missionary work in connection with the work of the third angel's message. They are to be educated from the standpoint of conscience, and as they conscientiously and faithfully follow right methods in their treatment of the sick, these methods will come to be recognized as preferable to the method of nursing to which many have been accustomed, which demands the use of poisonous drugs. We should not at this time seek to compete with worldly medical schools. Should we do this, our chances of success would be small. We are not now prepared to carry out successfully the work of establishing large medical institutions of learning. Moreover, should we follow the world's methods of medical practice, exacting the large fees that worldly physicians demand for their services, we would work away from Christ's plan for our ministry to the sick. There should be at our sanitariums intelligent men and women who can instruct in Christ's methods of ministry. Under the instruction of competent, consecrated teachers, the youth may become partakers of the divine nature and learn how to escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust. I have been shown that we could have many more women who can deal especially with the diseases of women, many more lady nurses who will treat the sick in a simple way and without the use of drugs. There are many simple herbs which, if our nurses would learn the value of, they could use in the place of drugs and find very effective. Many times I have been applied to for advice as to what should be done in cases of sickness or accident, and I have mentioned some of these simple remedies, and they have proved helpful. On one occasion, a physician came to me in great distress. He had been called to attend a young woman who was dangerously ill. She had contracted fever while on the campground and was taken to our school building near Melbourne, Australia. But she became so much worse that it was feared she could not live. The physician, Dr. Merritt Kellogg, came to me and said, "Sister White, have you any light for me on this case? If relief cannot be given our sister, she can live but a few hours." I replied, "Send to a blacksmith shop and get some pulverized charcoal. Make a poultice of it and lay it over her stomach and sides." The doctor hastened away to follow out my instructions. Soon he returned, saying, "Relief came in less than half an hour after the application of the poultice. She is now having the first natural sleep she has had for days." I have ordered the same treatment for others who were suffering great pain, and it has brought relief and been the means of saving life. My mother had told me that snake bites and the sting of reptiles and poisonous insects could often be rendered harmless by the use of charcoal poultices. When working on the land at Avondale, Australia, the workmen would often bruise their hands and limbs, and this, in many cases, resulted in such severe inflammation that the worker would have to leave his work for some time. One came to me one day in this condition, with his hand tied in a sling. He was much troubled over the circumstances, for his help was needed in clearing the land. I said to him, "Go to the place where you have been burning the timber, and get me some charcoal from the eucalyptus tree. Pulverize it, and I will dress your hand." This was done, and the next morning he reported that the pain was gone. Soon he was ready to return to his work. I write these things that you may know that the Lord has not left us without the use of simple remedies, which, when used, will not leave the system in the weakened condition in which the use of drugs so often leaves it. We need well-trained nurses who can understand how to use the simple remedies that nature provides for restoration to health, and who can teach those who are ignorant of the laws of health how to use these simple but effective cures. He who created men and women has an interest in those who suffer. He has directed in the establishment of sanitariums and in the building up of schools close to our sanitariums, that they may become efficient mediums in training men and women for the work of ministering to suffering humanity. In the treatment of the sick, poisonous drugs need not be used. Alcohol or tobacco in any form must not be recommended, lest some should be led to imbibe a taste for these evil things. There will be no excuse for the liquor dealers in that day, when every man shall receive according to his works. Those who have destroyed life will by their own life have to pay the penalty. God's law is holy and just and good. We have seen the poor wrecks of humanity come to our sanitariums to be cured of the liquor habit. We have seen those who have ruined their health by wrong habits of diet and by the use of flesh meats. This is why we need to lift up the voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. The Lord will judge according to their works those who are seeking to establish a law of the nations that will cause men to violate the law of God. In proportion to their guilt will be their punishment. The Lord would have us lift up the Sabbath of the Lord our God. We have a sacred work to do in opening blind eyes in regard to the day that the Lord has set apart and sanctified as the rest day of mankind. He declares, "The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." He has placed his own signature upon that day that he has set apart to be observed as long as time shall last. We should have much to say upon this subject just now. Let Seventh-day Adventist medical workers remember that the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Christ was the greatest physician that ever trod the sin-cursed earth. The Lord would have His people come to Him for their power of healing. He will baptize them with His Holy Spirit and fit them for a service that will make them a blessing in restoring the spiritual and physical health of those who need healing. Ellen G. White.